In Lancaster, Pennsylvania, this is the Jersey Boys Sports Talk presented to you by The Sportscast. It is November 3rd, 2022. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, YouTube, Twitch, Twitter, and Apple Podcasts. You can also listen to us on our on your smart speaker. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. We're also on online digital radio, and you can visit us on thesportscast.net and follow us on Twitter at thesportscast1, also on Instagram, and check out our app, The Sportscast. You can listen to us there, listen to past podcasts, past shows, and things like that. I am not Victor Orocho. I am Santiago Leon, subbing in for Vic, which he is on assignment tonight, but we got the weekly host that has not missed a show, I believe. Almost perfect attendance, Byron Jones.
Hello, how are we doing today?
Do you have perfect attendance for the show? I think you do.
I think I do.
You haven't missed it.
All over the place.
You're all over the place. You do the show during vacation sometimes.
Yes, I do. I'm retired. I have nothing else better to do.
Who would have thought? And then I heard you're also coaching basketball too.
I had to rush over there today because we have practice. I got a reprieve from coaching the 5 and 7 year olds. They didn't bump me up to 11 and 12 because the 5 and 7. Oh man, it's a little rough, man.
Do you like coaching basketball?
Yeah, that was my second favorite sport. Growing up. I played in high school. You know, I didn't play in college. We used to play whenever. But yeah, I enjoy. I've coached eighth grade basketball before, so I kind of sort of knew what I'm doing.
Would you ever coach football?
Yes, I coached high school football and I coached the college level too.
That's right. Nice. I remember. I remember more your playing days than your coaching days.
I went back to my high school. I coached at my high school. I coached in Oklahoma and I coached out in California.
Not bad. Not bad. But basketball is for now, for today.
Yes, the little guys now. 11 and 12-year-olds next week, and I'll be all settled in, and I'm good. But the 5 and 7, they're a handful.
Unbelievable. Well, there you go. Coaching is something that I thought about doing, but not now. It feels like it's a lot. It's a handful.
Yeah, but because you figure with you have the different league, you have the fall league, spring league, summer league. It's a lot. It's a lot of work. And, the best thing about this, because we're only doing it like twice a week, and then, they're going to have the games on Saturday. So they're kind of limited because it's new where I live to, as far as getting these kids involved in stuff around here. So, it's a great organization, Tyree and, all the different guys, that set it up, because this is brand new. This is brand new what we're doing around here. So, hopefully, things work out. They want to start with the basketball, flag football next, tackle football, football in the fall. They want to keep the kids, busy, and which is kind of important. Me with my military background, law enforcement background, NFL background, I'm kind of sort of I could be a role model, to these kids. So, it works out fine.
Making an impact to the community. That's freaking awesome. And also being host of the Jersey Boys Sports Talk is a lot there as well.
I keep telling that too.
Anyways, let's look at the first loss in a while. The Giants' 4-game winning streak came into a close this past weekend against the Seattle Seahawks. I said the Seahawks, I predicted it. They're going to win. They're hot as fire. Tyler Lockett secured a 33-touchdown catch, Byron, that provided the decisive points in Seattle's 27-13 win over the New York Football Giants. What a loss. But, hey, you can't win them all, right?
No, I'm happy. I'm going to keep saying it, 6-2. Me and Victor, fought, prior to the season, saying, when we look at the schedule, see where they'd be. And I'm going to insist, I said they were going to be 6-2, even though I know I didn't say that for a fact. But I'm going to keep saying, yes. Oh, at the break, yeah, they're going to be 6-2. Yes, so I'm going to stick with my story.
Should I go back into the archives and check?
You can do whatever you want to go, but I'm still going to say it. I deny the flex. I'm still going to say it.
Now, okay. This Giants team, I like it. Is it the Brian Daboll factor, or is it because everyone's healthy this year?
Everyone's not healthy because if you look at their IR, they got a ton of people still, you know, they're out, you know, a couple that are coming back. You know, it is the Brian Daboll and, you know, the Shane, you know, as the general manager, you know, to, you know, they came from winning culture. You figure they came from, you know, the Buffalo Bills and, you know, Daboll's with Alabama. So, you know, he's always been around, you know, winning programs. And I guess if, you know, you bring it into organization and, you know, it sort of rubs off on everybody, because they said they've been talking, you know, from the, you know, the top people in an organization, to, you know, to the trainers, to the equipment people, and they want everybody, you know, to buy into, you know, that program. And so far it's working.
Doug Schoen as well, doing well in the front office as the GM, making some moves, changes, trading Kadarius Toney to the Chiefs, which he might be playing soon.
Good for him. I'm glad he's playing. You know, for some reason, it just didn't work out with the Giants because he was always hurt. You know, his foot. I don't know the guy personally. You know, I don't know if his, you know, his rap career is more important than, you know, his football career, or is he going to use the rap career to, the football career to jumpstart, you know, his rap career. You don't know. And then, you know, like one of the last comments that he had on the way out the door, that he wasn't hurt. You know, that the Giants sort of, we got some of the works. We're not sure, but, you know, he ran his mouth basically. And it also doesn't help when they always tell you with the tattoos, don't get a tattoo, get a wife or whatever, you know, get a tattoo to kids, something you're always going to have. You're always going to have the same kid, but you might not always have the same wife. And this guy got a tattoo of the Giants on his forearm, a big old number 89 on his back with New York, you know, whatever's on there. And now he's number 19. So kind of messed up putting, you know, tattoos, you know, all of himself for stuff that is not in his life anymore at this point.
So you're saying it's a curse if you put a team's tattoo on your body that most likely will lead you to be traded or be cut?
Possibility. I've never heard anybody. You know, I'm sure it's other people that put tattoos. You know, whatever teams. You know, the NBA or wherever. I don't know for sure, but I know if it was me personally, I wouldn't. I put my kids on there, or whatever. You know, but as far as putting, you know, my number could always change. My team could always change, or I could just not be playing at all.
You could become an Eagles fan, technically.
No.
Daniel Jones was 17 of 31 for 176 yards and was sacked 5 times, Byron. That's a lot.
Yeah, I know. The reason why, I'm going to have an excuse now. The reason why is they were missing 2 linemen. You know, Evan Neal's out, right tackle, and left guard is out, Brenderson. So they had, you know, they had a rookie from North Carolina starting a guard. They had Tyrese Phillips, I think the guy's name, right tackle. He also used to play with Baltimore Ravens. They picked up, you know, up the practice squad or whatever. So he was the other tackle. They didn't play bad, but what happened was is that Seattle has a blueprint as far as stopping the Giants. You stop Saquon, you stop Daniel Jones running the ball. They don't have anybody to throw the ball to. Bellinger's out, you know, the rookie tight end, because they get gouged in the eyes. So he's out. And you stop those two. Because everybody, they're not going to catch the ball. There was a bunch of them. He hit them right smack between the numbers. And ball just went flowing out on the ground.
Now, that leads me to my next point, which you brought up, receiving. Is the receiving an issue? And should they sign someone like OBJ?
Well, let's see. OBJ, now, I thought about this. OBJ got hurt in February, right, in the Super Bowl. So you figure from that, you know, February, he's not going to be ready to play before, what, maybe December, maybe at the most, you know, maybe at December. So, you know, why
by the time Deshaun Watson comes back?
Yeah, same thing. You know, how could you justify, you know, signing him, you know, all the money you have to, you know, because you have to pay him. And, you know, he's only going to play maybe, you know, what, 4 games, maybe at the most, if that. But, and, you know, if they get the playoffs, you know, which is, you know, knock on wood, but you know, they did nothing to address the wide receiver group. The wide receiver group is awful. Richie James, the one that fumbled the two balls in the punt return, they should cut him. He's a practice squad guy, but they're not because they don't have anybody that's any better. But yes, the receiving group is no good, no good.
Yeah. Since Sterling Shepard's injury has been a question mark, Darius Slayton had 66 yards and Tanner Hudson had 58 yards. We have a comment from Twitch from DigsBTW7. He says, "Hey, what's up? Hey, what's up to you?" We're talking about the Giants and Seahawks recap. Where is Evan Engram, by the way?
Jacksonville.
Oh, that's right. He got traded, right?
No, free agent. They let him go.
That's right. Why am I thinking about Evan Engram right now?
We have Daniel Bell, the kid that got gouged in the eyes the last game. He's a good tight end. He's a good blocking tight end. He was coming around as a receiver. And, you know, hopefully he comes back sometime this season. But, you know, it was with his eyes. So you never know. You know, I think they surgery on his eye socket. And you never know, you know, double vision or, you know, whatever is going on. So hopefully, knock on wood, you know, the kid, you know, comes back healthy. And if he doesn't, you know, hold him out for next year because he was, you know, he was doing a good job.
Saquon Barkley had 53 yards, so the Seahawks had a good run defense, didn't they?
Yes. Because what I've watched is that the line, you know, with the new guys that they, you know, put out there, they weren't getting any push. And if you notice, like, when watching, you know, playing in Seattle, it's loud. It's loud.
It is a 12-man for sure.
Even with, you know, even veteran quarterbacks, when they go there, they have a hard time, you know, like they, you know, silent count or, you know, hand signals or stuff like that. And, you know, they were having a hard time, you know, communicating, you know, as far as, you know, jumping on sides, you know, illegal procedures, you know, running the wrong play, you know, it happened a lot. That's a tough place to play. The 12th man. There you go.
It is. It's a 12th man. Tell me about Geno Smith, Byron. Is he the real deal or is it because he has tools like DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett?
Hey, let's think about that. Now, if Daniel Jones, we're going to flip it real quick. Daniel Jones had DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett, he'd be a lot better. A lot better. But because Geno Smith has a competent two receivers, the Disley, the tight end, is really good. They have a running game. They have a very good offensive line. I think they got three of them are rookies with Seattle, and two or three are rookies. And they're, you know, one of them was Cross, one of the kids, you know, the Giants were looking at, you know, as far as offensive tackle. And they can run the ball, they can throw the ball. And for some reason, you know, Geno Smith is all of a sudden he's having a rebirth now, you know, after 10 years, you know, being with the Giants, the Jets, and whoever else he was with, you know, taking away, Eli Manning's consecutive game record because they started him in the place of Manning that didn't go over well with a lot of people. But he's comeback player of the year, whatever you want to call it, but you know, he's playing well with, you know, with the people that he has.
There is talks of him being in the MVP conversation. Would you agree with that, Byron?
Yeah, I can give him comeback player of the year. MVP, that's a bit straight. They win a Super Bowl.
He'll have to, that's too much.
Yeah, win a Super
Bowl. Well, the thing is, they picked, don't they choose the MVP before the Super Bowl?
I think they do.
I think they do. So
they have that MVP, what is that? That ESPN awards thing or whatever they call it.
ESPY, but that's a little bit different, though. No, you want the real NFL award.
He's not going to. MVP? Nah, that's a stretch. Nah.
But I do agree. At least the most improved player.
Yes. We'll give him a participation trophy. Here you go. Give him a little trophy.
Oh, yeah. Geno Smith, really impressive player. Ex-former Giant. Always forget about that. Yes. Maybe he really wanted to beat the Giants this time.
Well, all the guys I think McAdoo was a coach then, and Gettleman, they're all gone. So, you know, why would he have a gripe against them? If that's the case, he'd have a gripe, you know, with the Jets too, because he played for them and whatever other teams he's been with. So, man, give him a little, a little participation trophy and send him on his way. Here you go.
And can you believe the Seahawks are first place in the NFC West?
Yeah, because all the other teams stink.
True. The Rams are not the Super Bowl Rams we know of.
Super Bowl holdover. What do you call it? Hangover. There you go. Super Bowl hangover. They ain't
going to help out. Yeah. And of course, the Niners are starting to creep up now with CMC, Christian McCaffrey in the lineup.
They still have Garoppolo. He's still going to make that throw that he shouldn't throw, or get sacked, but he shouldn't get sacked or something. But you know, besides having the weapons, yeah, they got plenty of them. They have plenty of weapons in San Francisco.
Yeah, that's what Ray Sherrod from Sports Talk 101 was saying last week, that Garoppolo should take the sack than just throwing the ball for interception or something. So
nah, he's a 30-year-old quarterback. He's been around, what, at least 10 years now. And, he hasn't figured out just not to chuck it. You know, the guy's coming, let me throw it. And, you know, he hasn't figured that one out. He'll do it at the most inopportune time. He'll do it playoffs, Super Bowl, wherever, but he'll do it.
Wherever it's necessary. All right, this past week was the NFL trade deadline. It was more than usual. Usually there's not much going on, not much chatter, but a lot happened. Let's start with the first one. Lions deal Pro Bowl tight end TJ Hockenson, who they drafted a few years ago, to rival Minnesota Vikings, who's first place in the NFC North. Your thoughts on that, Byron?
Why would you trade first inside your own, you know, division? You know, why would you trade, you know, a guy that you're probably going to be facing for the next, you know, 5 years or 6 years? He's a good tight end. He is a really good tight end. And because they took the other tight end, Irv Smith Jr., and put him on the IR. But, you know, the tight end they picked up, he's really good. He's definitely going to help them a lot. He's definitely going to make them a lot better.
Yeah, that's something that we'll see how it does. But good for Hockenson. I was reading and hearing on the radio that Hockenson wasn't jiving or gelling with the Lions organization. And, of course, with Dan Campbell. And I think Dan Campbell made some comments today that, yeah, he just didn't mind trading him off. It was probably best suited for the team. So, good for him. The Vikings are doing pretty good. I mean, they have good, I mean, players on paper.
They have a good, you know, good set of receivers. Now they got a good tight end. They got a good running back. But they do have, I'm going to throw some gasoline on the fire. They still have Kirk Cousins, though. The king of 1 year, 40 million. Yeah. 1 year, 45 million. 1 year, 80 million. You know, so he's the king. He's made about what? About probably about $240, $250 million a career. Not bad for a second string guy, you know, originally with Washington.
Not bad deal. Another trade. Bears acquired Chase Claypool from the Steelers for a second rounder. Your thoughts on that?
I wanted him to end up with the Giants, but, you know, he's, you know, another, you know, weapon for, you know, the quarterback up there Fields. You know, he's a big receiver, like 6'4", 6'5", or whatever he is. And, you know, he's not bad. He's not a bad receiver at all, but, you know, Mr. Fields up in, you know, Chicago, they're slowly building something around the kid, you know, because they got a ton of money, you know, next year, you know, cap space, and they got, you know, the draft picks. So Chicago's going to get better, but that was a good pickup, even though I wish, you know, we had picked him up instead.
Is Justin Fields coming into fruition lately?
Because they're using him, you know, the way they should use him. You know, he can run the ball. He's like, I ain't going to say he's like him, but, you know, the kid at Buffalo, Bills. They put a design runs. You know, if you can run the ball. And, you know, he's getting, you know, the weapons around him where, you know, he'd be able to throw the ball. But, you know, they're playing, you know, to his strengths. And one of them is, you know, running the football.
From last week's conversation, is he the best Ohio State quarterback in recent years?
Let's think about this. Yeah. Yeah, that was quick. That was easy.
Yeah, they don't produce many good quarterbacks.
Well, we'll never know what, you know, Haskins, you know, rest in peace, you know, yeah, we'll never know. With, you know, with him, you know, with Pittsburgh, because they might have never drafted, you know, a quarterback, you know, if, you know, this kid was around, you know, and, you know, it's just so sad, you know, with him, but, you know, he could have been, you know, one of the ones that, you know, did do well, but for the most part, nah, I can't think of not one that succeeded.
Do you consider Joe Burrow a Buckeye?
No, he left and he went to LSU, and that's where he got the Heisman Trophy, national championship, and all the things he did, you know, on his career with LSU.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, sorry, Alan. Another big one, which I loved, maybe my favorite trade deal, Miami Dolphins acquire Broncos Bradley Chubb for a first round pick, and also Chase Edmonds. And also Chubb had a huge contract extension today as well.
Yeah, he got paid, but is he going to stay healthy? Because he was hurt a lot, you know, with Denver. And, you know, if he's not hurt, he's that different maker like Von Miller. He's close. Not Von Miller close, but he's close. That, you know, where, you know, Miami's going to make a run, you know, because they need that with, you know, chasing after, you know, Josh Allen with Buffalo, and, you know, the Jets with, you know, Zach Martin, and, you know, what's his name? Mac Jones with, or he ain't running anywhere, with New England, and he's a closer. Bradley Chubb is going to be their closer like Von Miller, hopefully, but he did get paid. It was 100 and some million or whatever it was.
$110 million through the 2027 season.
Ooh, that must be nice. That's a lot of money, boy. Ooh, that's a big piggy bank.
I'm sure he's okay after retirement. But this Miami Dolphin team has been aggressive, Byron. How far can they go? I mean, I don't think they can win the AFC East, but for sure they're playoff contenders.
They're going to scare everybody because the loaded receiver, you got Mr. Fragile, you know, quarterback. Hopefully, you know, he doesn't get hurt. You know, I don't want nothing bad to happen to the kid. You know, they can have a good defense, and they can go as far as, you know, they need, as long as they don't have to go to Buffalo. Everything's going to go through Buffalo or Kansas City. As long as they don't have to, you know, go to one of those cold weather places, you know, to play, you know, they should be fine, because I think Tyreek Hill is on pace for what, 2,000 yards as a receiver. He's a real deal.
He is the cheetah, by the way.
Yes, and he proves that every week.
Top, I would say you mentioned some two big teams there. Is the Eagles in that top three conversation in the NFL right now?
Yes. Number two behind Buffalo.
Okay, fair enough. I don't know. It feels like Chiefs and Bills are kind of – you can flip the coin with those two. You know, those goes, you know, they can pretty much rotate between one and two for the AFC at least.
I think, it all depends on where they're going to play. You know, if Buffalo's cold place to play in January, February, it's cold. It's going to be windy. It's going to be snow on the ground. But then you go to Kansas City, it's the same thing. So, you know, it really doesn't matter, you know, where, you know, either one of them going to play. But, you know, if I put my money on it, I'm going to go with the Buffalo Bills. I'm going to ride with them because they did go out and get Von Miller, you know, as the closer to chase around Patrick Mahomes. So I'm going to go with Buffalo if it's at Buffalo. And I'm going to go with Buffalo even if it's in Kansas City.
Breaking news. The Texans have scored their touchdown on their opening possession against the undefeated Eagles.
What?
7-0.
Shocker.
If you don't know that. Yeah, pretty shocked. Texans are considered the worst team in the NFL. Undisputed worst team in the NFL. So against the best team, or the top three best teams in the NFL, the Eagles. So we'll see.
I got to show a little love for Houston, though, because Lovie Smith was my position coach in college. So, you know, I always got love for, you know, Miss Lovie Smith, my position coach.
Do you love him with the beard or without the beard?
I am without the beard. He looks like the old grandfather of the guy. Now I was like, nah, that's not a good look, man.
Yeah, yeah. He seems like a cool guy to hang out with, feels like.
Oh, he's really cool. He's real soft-spoken, you know, really quiet. Now he can get on you. You know, but the way he got on you, you know, like, you know, it makes you seem like, man, yeah, I really don't want to disappoint this guy. So, you know, he was just, you know, he was a good dude, man. We also had Nolan Richardson was there. He was the basketball coach at Tulsa, too, when I was
interesting.
There.
Multiple. 49ers send veteran Jeff Wilson Jr. to the Dolphins for a draft pick.
Not much there.
They got Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah, they got him. And the other guy. They have a bunch of good running backs. They have the backs at San Francisco. So, you know, that's just like, you know, another back just in case McCaffrey goes down again, because he does get hurt a lot too.
Dolphins got Raheem Mostert, another Niner, last summer. So they nicknamed him Raheem Must Start. So anyways, another unusual deal that I thought of the week was Falcons traded suspended wide receiver Calvin Ridley to the Jaguars. Your thoughts on that?
Why?
Yeah.
Why would, that was... Maybe just didn't want him to be around anymore, or, get something for him, because, what he did was bad, allegedly.
He just gambled on one game, right, or something?
Yeah, it was something stupid.
Yeah, and, it was unforced. I don't know. It was really stupid. You're right.
And they tell you, in training camp, they have all these different people coming, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. And they tell you what to do and what not to do. They tell you where not to, they have people that know where, to go and where not to go. And it's just weird that, that you would get caught up in something like that. And then, them basically, turn around and, give them up and like, if he does this, draft pick moves to this, he does this and moves to this. So they're just judging, he's going to do the right thing in the future. I hope he, another Alabama guy, guy, I hope he straightens his life up. He's fine in the future.
Yeah. I know his value is going lower by the week. He's not playing at all this season. So I guess the Falcons wants to get something out of him and see what they can do, which their only receiver is Kyle Pitts, right?
He's pretty good.
He's like they say, he's a tight end, but with a wide receiver body or something.
He's a big wide receiver. He's big, got long arms, could run. So yeah, he's a little bit more than a wide receiver. He's like something different.
Interesting. Another one, Steelers deal for Commanders disgruntled cornerback William Jackson.
Pittsburgh needs all the help they can get. They got torched last week, and they need a lot of help. Hopefully, this is short for defense. I think TJ Watts should be coming back, or whatever his name is. He should be coming back soon because they need help. And Kenny Pickett, New Jersey Ocean Township guy, should stop throwing all those interceptions and chucking the ball up in the air. They need to start leaning on the run with Najee Harris. The offensive line is not up to standard. And hopefully Tomlin doesn't have his first losing season ever, but it's not looking good for Pittsburgh.
Yeah. Mike Tomlin has turned, these bad starts into 8-8 seasons, or at least a 500. Do you think he'll, end kind of like a light good note, I guess?
No. No, because Pickett needs to stop throwing interceptions. They need to start running the ball, where Pittsburgh is known to do, run the ball and play good defense and not make the mistakes to give up the big play. But right now, it's not looking good.
Not looking good. We'll see what happens with these Steelers. Bills, they add to potent offense, acquire pass catching running back Nyheim Hines from the Colts. Not a bad pickup for them.
Another cookie in the cooking jar. They're building up, for that run, but they're still kind of, they still don't have like the back, that guy, that they can continually give the ball to, to eat up clock. And, all you're doing now is putting that 6'5", 240-pound, quarterback. He's basically, the running game. And you can't keep having your franchise quarterback pounded a rock, the way he does. I think they got like Singletary is one of the backs, and I forgot the other kid's name. And then they just got, but he's basically a receiver or a punt returner, the kid they just picked up in the Colts. But they can't have their franchise quarterback running the ball. He can do it, but it's gonna be that one time. That's all it takes is one, for him to get broken half, and they're gonna be screwed for last year. But we'll see about that.
The Bills are gearing up, packing up for that championship run. The New York Giants did not have any trade deals, but they have been talking about extensions for a few players. One notably is Saquon Barkley, and the other one is Daniel Jones. Shone said on Tuesday's trade deadline that he's open to extending one or both players, but would want to get it done while Big Blue is on its bye week, which they have a bye week this weekend. And then they played the Texans the other week in a week or two next week. So he said, we'll have those meetings this week. He said, we'll talk about it if we want to. We had to get through the trade deadline today and those conversations. Then we'll kind of circle up with some strategy meetings as we move forward on contract extensions and if we may or may not do anybody. If I did, this will be the week. I would want to entertain it during the bye week, and then I probably won't do anything after that. I don't want anything to be a distraction to the players or the organization, which is true. So if we do something, it will be probably be before Monday with any of our guys. I'm not saying him, but when we have those conversations, and of course it's either Jones or Barkley, who should get it, Byron?
Ooh, that's hard. Barkley, you really don't want to give him a ton of money because of his injury history. You know, the last time, you know, somebody gave, you know, a running back a ton of money, you know, it really hasn't worked, which is Dallas Cowboys. It's worked out, but, you know, Gurley was another example that, you know, sort of flamed up, you know, after he got, you know, all that money. So you got to think about that. Then you have with Daniel Jones, you know, do you want to franchise him and pay him $40 million a year? No. You know, you want to do something, you know, I'm not a GM or whatever, but you want to do something that's team friendly, you know, maybe, you know, a 3-year deal, you know, for, you know, 50 million, you know, 30 of it guaranteed or something like that, you know, with him. And you probably want to franchise, you know, Barkley, because, you know, that number is not that high, you know, as far as we're running back. I think it's like 12 or something like that. But you would franchise him and probably sign, you know, Daniel to something. But
you say Daniel Jones.
Yep.
There you have it. Wow. It's tough to sign him. It really is. But if there's no running quarterback in the next upcoming drafts, I guess you just got to stick with him. But still, it's still early, right? We guys still got to see what is going to happen in the next upcoming weeks. I was going to say months, but weeks. Another one is safety Julian Love. His representatives have had conversations about a contract extension. Love is a 2019 fourth round pick from Notre Dame. He's a captain, an indispensable player in Wink Martindale's defense, and a pending unrestricted free agent. The safety is in the final year of a 4-year, $3.2 million contract. GM Joe Shane said on Tuesday that he wants to get in any season extensions done this week. Should his contract be extended?
Pay him. That's all I got to say about it. Pay him.
He's more confident than Barkley and Jones.
Yeah, because this guy, he's been on the field. He's been playing. You know, corner, he can play. You know, slot corner. You know, he's been a, you know, safety, free safety. He's got, you know, he's got multiple, you know, positions playing, you know, this defense. And he's available every week, not like the other two. And I would pay this kid. You know, pay him before he gets out there in the market. I'm sure somebody else will pick him up.
Very talented player, as Byron said. Another player is, you mentioned another one, Lawrence.
Yep. Got to pay. Come on. All big guys, you got to pay the big guy. Gotta pay us so we can, you know, we can go White Castle and, you know, and hamburgers and pizza and all this other stuff. You gotta pay this guy. You know, he's been playing at a high level, you know, for the last couple of years. And you gotta pay Big Dex. You know, he's got, I think he's got 4 or 5 sacks this year, you know, from the nose position. You know, that's kind of rare. You know, he's finally, you know, fulfilling that potential he had coming out of Clemson. You know, pay him too. Pay the big dude.
For those White Castles, they're pretty expensive sometimes.
But White Castle, now up here, they're like $1.20.
I know. Have you ever been to a Crystal Burger?
A what?
Crystal? I guess not. Crystal Burgers?
Uh-huh. We got White Castle up here.
Yeah, I think there might be a White Castle in Orlando. I can't confirm, but they're not down here in Miami at least. So yeah.
Ooh, they're a little rough. I would get them coming back from a football game. If I went to see my nephew, well, my nephew, but my little cousins play, I would go see it. And on the way home, there's a White Castle on Route 1. And I would stop in there and get me some double cheeseburgers and onion rings and fries. And my stomach would be killing me before I even get home.
Oh man, I would drink that with a cherry Coke.
I do.
Oh, no coincidence.
Yeah, there you go.
We have same taste, I guess.
They got the little machine where you know you push the button, you got all the different sodas, some Fanta. They get some Fanta. There you go.
Fanta. Wow. Yeah. I love Fanta. All right. Well, that is the only extensions that Joe Shane has talked about. Do you think which one of these four will probably happen or none?
I think Julian Love would happen first because Dexter Lawrence was a first round pick. All the other, first round pick, Andrew Thomas, they're talking about him too. That was a late one that came out the opposite tackle. And, all them guys, their first round pick got to wait, because they're going to be a lot higher. But Julian Love, I would pay him first.
Yeah. A lot of these decisions, a lot of these contract extensions happen right during the season. Could that be a distraction?
No, not really. You're going to go by your bit. You figure your agent is paying in everything. He's going to go, all right, this is what they offer. Yes or no? All right, we think, that's it. If you're a pro, be a pro.
Be a pro, exactly. And a lot of these, some of these players don't have agents like Lamar Jackson. So,
yeah.
And I think Chubb too.
Yeah, that's not good.
I don't know. You got to do it with an agent. Like, there's just more focus at it. They know the writing in the contract. They just let them do the heavy lifting on the reading.
They're all standard contracts. If you ever see that, they all look the same. It's just you should just replace numbers in it. That's it.
Really?
Yeah, they're all standard contract. They look, all of them look exactly the same. Whatever. $400,000 a year for this. $350,000. Bonus on here, and anybody could just about walk in and do it. If you know what you're worth, you can do it your own. And why pay a guy, 5% or 6%, whatever, to basically, read the same thing that you can turn around and read yourself?
Unless you get the Kyler Murray one that includes a study hall one.
Yeah, that we see how that working out there. It's like, man.
But they removed it after it was news.
I wonder why. I would have had it removed too. Said that you're going to embarrass me in front of the whole world. I need a study time for my contract. That's crazy.
That's crazy. Anyways, we'll see what happens next week with Doug Chain. Great GM. So we'll see what happens. Undefeated Philadelphia Eagles remain undefeated.
Yeah.
They beat the Steelers 35-13, Byron. Steelers, they were double teaming A.J. Brown, which he had 156 yards. 8-0. Yes, we talked about this before already in the show, but are they the real deal?
I can't say it because I'm a Giant fan, but I'm going to say it anyway. Yes, they are. They're loaded. And I've said this before, offensive line, top five offensive line, running backs. Jalen Hurts is coming into his own. They probably have the best group of receivers in all of the NFL. They got a Heisman Trophy winner, the number two guy, Devontae Smith. On the defensive side, great defensive line. They got, they picked up Robert Quinn, from Chicago Bears at a trade. Linebackers are good. The secondary, they're the real deal in the NFC.
Eagles just tied the game against Eagles on Thursday Night Football against the Texans. But I remember the conversations on the show that you said the Eagles look great on paper, but the X factor was Jalen Hurts. Has he proven you that he is the real deal?
I think with him, every year that he's played from Alabama, he's gotten better every year. Alabama, Oklahoma, comes to the NFL, first year starter. He's improved every year. Just look at it. I'm not just saying it because I like him as a player, but he's improved every year. And now since he has A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, Rager, the tight end, the running backs, there's no way he possibly could screw this up. He should not screw this up because it's impossible what he has.
The question is, how would it look like when they play the Chiefs?
Where are they playing them at?
Let's say Philadelphia.
They beat him in Philly.
I think so. But if they go to Kansas City or Buffalo, it's a whole different story.
Completely different story. Because Buffalo's, because Buffalo has a good defense. They're really good. I think they're the number one ranked defense. And, you know, they can match up with, you know, what, you know, the Eagles have, you know, as far as, you know, the, you know, wide receiver group, you know, as far as the cornerbacks and linebackers and line, and, you know, putting pressure, you know, on Jalen, not having him running all over the place. But yeah, I would, the game, you know, Super Bowl, Buffalo, Philadelphia, go Buffalo.
Coach of the year, Nick Sirianni.
Nah, Brian Daboll.
There you go. Hey, fair enough. I think he's definitely in that conversation. So that is not foreign. So the next upcoming games for the Eagles tonight, they have the Texans. They're tied at a touchdown apiece. Then they get the Commanders, winnable. The Colts at the Colts, winnable. Packers, now I can say that's winnable. Titans, that might be the toughest game.
Yes. Yes.
And I know AJ Brown.
They're still kind of, you know, Ryan Tannehill is like, eh, he's okay. But, you know, the only thing that you really got to worry about is Derrick Henry running the ball.
That's it. Which he's now dealing with some injury lingerings again. So then they go to the Giants. I cannot say that's winnable. I cannot.
We always split. I'm going to go with a split. We're going to beat them at home. And they're going to, because I think we played them the end of the year too.
January 8th, correct.
Yeah, it should be cold. And it's going to be a split. Somehow we're going to split.
And then after the Giants, they play the Chicago Bears. That could be closer than you think.
Yeah, that's going to be winnable.
And the Cowboys, which I do think they're the second best team in the NFC East.
Yes, they are. And their defense, you know. Because I've been watching, like, you know, Micah Parsons. He's like, he's hurt. For some reason, he looked like he doesn't look explosive, like, all the time. Because usually he's chasing people, and it looks like he's doing it, like, in spurts. And then when he comes to the sideline, he's sitting on the sideline, he's, like, leaning back. Like, he has, like, a groin problem or whatever. But he has something that's going on, you know, with him. But he's, you know, he's how you want to put it, he's Micah Parsons.
Yeah, Cowboys definitely is defense, Micah Parsons' main player. Then they got the Saints. That's winnable. And then the Giants, as we talked about, that might be a tough game for the Giants if it's in Philly.
I'm going to split. I'm going to go with the split.
There you go. Split. Keep it simple. So they won't have an undefeated season.
No, the Giants are going to, you know, knock them off, or Titans. One of the teams is going to get to them. You know, maybe Dallas. They're going to lose to somebody, but it's just you got to catch them on that day because they're good. They are really good, you know, from top to bottom.
This is the gear for the Philadelphia Eagles, and we'll see what happens with the Phillies tonight, which we'll predict towards the end of the show. Washington Commanders for sale? Yes. There was an report from ESPN that Dan and Tanya Snyder, owners of the Washington Commanders, announced that they've hired Bank of America Securities to explore potential transactions involving the team. So this is an indicator they plan to sell, even though they said they don't want to sell. And when they said they did that they didn't want to change the team's name, they did. But this is a likely scenario. Your thoughts, Byron?
Maybe it has something to do they want to sell with their little money flim-flam thing. They have an ongoing investigation into some kind of illegal money thing that they were doing allegedly or whatever.
But, which paying their staff or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's about time for him. He's a billionaire. So, you know, why do you really need, you know, a football team, you know, as a toy? That, you know, the Washington, you know, Commanders, before he got there, you know, they were very successful. You know, they won, you know, Super Bowls, and, you know, they were always in the mix with, you know, the NFC East. And, you know, ever since this guy's been there, man, they just, you know, it's like, it's a mess.
Aaron Bernstein from Sports Talk 101 says, it's about time they put them up for sale. There's Helen because they don't have a choice since they're under investigation. They don't have a choice, don't they?
Yeah, they can choice, you know, because you figure, you know, once you sell the team, you may have a lot of money. You know, if you go to jail, you know, a lot of money for commissary. You know, that billionaire, you know, in jail is like, you know, he got a lot of good commissary stuff, you know, potato chips and stuff like that.
Yeah. The rumors of potential buyers, I've been hearing Jeff Bezos. You've been saying Byron Allen. Yes. Why is that?
He's I don't know if you have to look him up. He's like he's an African American young man. He was a comedian at first, and he's brought a whole bunch of, you know, different media outlets, you know, all over the place. And he's like I think he's a billionaire too. But you know, he's been a mix for, like, you know, quite a few things. And he wouldn't be a bad owner too if they want to go that route.
Byron Allen, folks, is an American businessman, comedian. Yep. Television producer, philanthropist, and the head of U.S. entertainment company, Entertainment Studios. Yep. So Byron picks him. And yes, there is news headlines saying that he's preparing a bid for the Commanders. And sometimes these, you know, when you have these team buyouts, sometimes they do it in a group, like what they did with the Broncos. It was just not the Walmart people, but they included Racers, Condoleezza Rice, and so on. Yep. So this could be the same case for the Commanders.
You know, anything to get the team out of this guy's hands. You know, there's a point in time where, you know, sometimes you just need to cut your losses, and, you know, he needs to go, because I don't think they would have got the votes, you know, to actually, you know, kick him out. I don't think they would have got 28 teams or whatever, you know, the number is, you know, for to say that he got to sell his team. So, you know, maybe somebody, you know, behind the door said, hey, you know, we're thinking about this. So maybe you need to sell the team, you know, before we, you know, just take it from you, whatever they do.
The Broncos were sold for $6 billion, so I'm sure the Commanders might be up there as well.
Yeah, they're definitely going to probably, because I think they wanted a new, you know, I'm sure Aaron knows, but they probably, I think they were looking to get a new stadium too, as well, because like where they're at, they're way out in the middle of nowhere as far away from you know, Washington, D.C., and maybe they want to get a stadium either in Washington, D.C., which I don't know where, or at least closer, you know, to actually being a Washington team. But yeah, I think they want to stay at new stadium and, you know, the whole team. So, you know, maybe, you know, they can afford to buy and get a team, you know, a stadium as well.
Yeah, that's something that is part of the issue, is the stadium. I've been hearing a lot that it could be in the D.C. area. It could be in Northern Virginia. Not hearing much about Maryland, so we'll see what happens. More NFC East news this past weekend. Zeke Elliott did not play, but Tony Pollard did. Is there a running back situation problem over there? Or, hey, you know, Zeke just needs some rest and he'll be back fine in the future.
Let's see. Zeke needs some rest, because this is going to be his last year with the Dallas Cowboys, because you know, that contract, you know, is still a little heavy. And now, since you know, Pollard has emerged as the guy, that are going to let Zeke go at the end of the year, you know, this, you know, football season, you know, get another fresh running back, and, you know, Tony Pollard's going to be the guy. But, you know, I've always liked Zeke. You know, he's always been, you know, the hammer, you know, the hammer. Then, you know, he breaks one. But that's the way it is. You know, they paid him a ton of money, and they're not getting the same results with it, because he's gotten older. He's got a lot of mileage on those legs. So that's a good thing for both of them. You know, move along. And
the average running back span life in the NFL is 4 years.
Not long.
That's not long at all.
Well, how did Frank Gore last like 25 years?
I don't know. He has special needs.
That's a long time.
Also, Emmitt Smith, 14 seasons?
Might be more than that. It was a lot. His son plays for Southern Mississippi.
He does.
Watched him over the weekend. Yeah, Frank Gore Jr.
Interesting. If
he'd have kept playing, maybe he would have played with his son.
Which that's true. Which makes me think, you said Mississippi, Jackson State. Would Deion Sanders get the Auburn position, head coaching position?
I wouldn't want that job if I was him.
You would?
No. I would not. No.
Why not?
Yeah, you know, their boosters would probably be a pain in the butt. And just the fact that, you know, he's a Florida State guy. So you have a Florida State guy is coming to Auburn. He's not, I can't even say it the right way. I'm going to be nice. He's not one of them. The booster is not going to like that.
I got it. But he does attract players, though.
Oh, he would attract, you know, because, you know, the NILs and, you know, all the, you know, you figure all the big stars that are show up in the game. But that Auburn is just, that's not a good fit for him. That wouldn't be a good.
He should just wait for the FEC job to open up.
Yeah.
Aaron says from Sports Talk 101, which you catch every Tuesday at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central. Zeke needs to go. That's his final conclusion.
That hurts.
I like Tony Pollard, but you're saying Pollard is a different type of running back. He's not.
Yeah, he's like
the average.
You figured it like the last couple of years with him. All right, you had, you know, when it was like a 1-2 punch. You had Zeke come in. You know, he starts again. Boom, boom, boom. You know, straight ahead, like a hammer. You know, they soften up the defense. So on Pollard, then the speed with Pollard and Zeke is two different things. Now all of a sudden you got a smaller back and he's hitting a whole lot faster, you know, than the other guy. And that makes a difference. You know, Zeke softens him up and then Pollard comes in and, you know, finishes. But he's not a 20 to 25 carry guy because he's not that big.
Interesting. I like that. Another team that broke their losing streak, Denver Broncos. They did it in London against the Jacksonville Jaguars, 21-17. Wilson had 252 yards, looking good, which he was injured. He was not 100% certain he was going to play this past weekend. And Greg Dulcich, wide receiver for the Broncos, had 87 yards. Is this the turning point for the Broncos and Nathaniel Hackett, Byron Jones?
No. Daniel Hackett, or whatever his coach's name is, he's going to get fired at the end of the year because he's not.
I think so too.
Yeah, he's not. He wasn't hired by this group, you know, this ownership group they have now. Whatever he's, you know, the things he's doing, you can see that, you know, it's like a Green Bay kind of thing. And I guess maybe he did watch films of what, you know, Russell did in Seattle, you know, trying to incorporate that kind of stuff that he did. And he's done. The only thing will save him if they go to the playoffs.
The biggest letdown that I saw from him that, like, probably, you know, made people think about him a little bit more was that answer when he said that he should have gone for it for the field goal that first or second game of the season. I think that did it. I think that was not a good answer. But indecisiveness. Another offensive coordinator not doing well is the Raiders head coach McDaniel.
Yeah, first team. I don't know what's wrong with them. They're bad. They're really bad. I didn't think that would happen when, you know, Josh McDaniels, you know, being an offensive guy. You know, I think Devontae Adams had one catch or whatever he had the last game. They're paying him a ton of money, you know, to catch the ball. And they're not throwing the ball well. They're not running the ball. You know, they're not blocking. You know, they can't play defense. They're kind of a mess. And, you know, hopefully, you know, the owner, you know, the Vegas will give the guy, you know, more than 1 year, but he's not looking good either.
Yeah. Coaching decisions, new coaches. Give them a try for a season. Might be enough for them to get axed.
And
or give him some more time.
Well, look at the other guy that, you know, Matt Rhule got fired with, you know, Carolina. He could sit home and make $1 million sitting home for months, like for years. $60 million contract.
But no better contract than the Bobby Bonilla contract. Gets paid $1 million every July.
Chris Bosh had one of those too.
He did too.
Yeah.
And I think it ended, I think it ends this year or next year.
But yeah, Bobby Bonilla, yeah, that's a good one because he ain't played in decades.
I know. Unbelievable. Anyways, before we end, Michael Thomas is hurt again from the Saints.
Yeah. He got paid. He's another one. Like I said earlier, he's the Albert Haynesworth of, you know, contracts. You know, he got paid. And all of a sudden, you know, his toe hurt, his leg hurt, his head hurt, his back hurt, and all these injuries, and hasn't really produced, you know, the last 2 or 3 years. So he's, you know, he's done, you know, as a, you know, receiver, you know, probably with the Saints. They'll probably get rid of him after this year.
There you have it. Anything else before we head into predictions?
No, all good in the hood.
All good. Giants are 6-2. You can't beat that. My Dolphins got Chubb. I can't complain either. I know what's going on right now, but who will win tonight between the Eagles at the Houston Texans?
Sad to say, but I'm going to be a flip-flopper. The Texans are going to win tonight.
Davis Mills. Let's go.
That's right. Davis Mills, Stanford guy.
And who takes game five? Astros at Phillies. Last night, Astros had a no-hitter, defeated the Phillies 5-0. Who do you have for game five tonight?
Phillies. I got to go with the Phillies because I got too many people right here to, you know, be listening.
Phillies gets it 3-2, goes back to Houston for game six and seven, potential game seven. It'll be game six, but I'm going for the Astros. And but, you know, it's interesting. I saw that cheating scandal video on YouTube and how they cheated. They used garbage cans to make noise to tell the hitter to hit or not to hit.
Yep.
Which is how the situation is interesting. So, which I heard that in baseball, there's a lot of cheating more than any, than like any other sport I've noticed.
I think one of the guys, they made him change his bat too, like the last couple, like two games ago, where it was something with his bat. And
it was too thick or something.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. Anyways, Gary Sinise.
Well, since I don't know it by heart, which I should, yes, everybody give to the Gary Sinise Foundation. Give until your eyes bleed. Give until, you know, you don't have any more money into your pocket. The Gary Sinise Foundation.
And there you have it. Victor Rocha is not in tonight, but he'll be back next week. He's on assignment. Byron Jones, your Twitter is Byron C. Jones 1, at Byron C. Jones 1 if you need to connect with him. He doesn't check his Twitter. He may one of these days. He might be lucky. But you can reach us at what was that?
I don't want to pay the $8 to get ready to slap on there. $8 a month thing?
Yeah, to get the check mark, which it might put us up in the rankings if we do pay. Anyways, you can reach us at thesportscast.net website or thesportscast1 on Twitter and Instagram. Victor Rocha is Rocha on Twitter. And on Instagram is debt-free Victor 1, but I don't think he uses Instagram much, as much as Byron does.
I got like two.
Anyways, big weekend ahead in the NFL. We're past that midseason already.
Don't forget the big game this weekend, Georgia, Tennessee.
That's right. Who you got for that game?
Georgia.
I think Georgia's going to win it. Tennessee was ranked number one in the first college football playoff rankings of the year. And that was pretty bold by the board, I would say. But they've had big wins. Like Tyler says, they don't have a great team. They don't have much talent, but they have big wins. They beat LSU and Alabama. Can they do it again against Georgia? If they do beat Georgia this week, Byron, yes, they're number one.
Yes.
Hands down. Absolutely. Georgia's a good team. Anyways, it's always been a pleasure, Byron. Thanks for coming on. No, this is your show. You got to come on.
Yeah. 8 o'clock. So everybody don't forget, Thursday nights, 8 o'clock.
8 p.m. Eastern, only on the Sportscast. I am Santiago Leon, filling in for Victor Arocho, who is on assignment. Byron, till next time, go Giants.